We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Ira Winderman is in for Crowder. Crowder's on vacation. He'll be back tomorrow. We will hook up with Mickey Sudo at some point this afternoon. Steve Goldstein, Goldie, is going to join us at 3 o'clock so we can talk Roberto Luongo and the ramifications of his retirement with him. He announced about 30 minutes ago, Roberto Luongo, that he is retiring. But let me go back to the NBA as long as Ira is sitting in here. So Kevin Durant, he is not going to opt in. He had an opt-in for $31.5 million
for next season. Had to let him know. The definitive date is the 29th, which will be Friday. And
so
do that today.
Some of the thought was maybe he opts in for that 1 year because then he's getting paid $31.5 million to rehab. And then when he's healthy, he can now make the decision.
But instead, he can rehab for $36 million anyway. You know, it's a story I spoke to people when LeBron kept taking short contracts and people kept going, oh, he's taking a risk. I said, no. I spoke to an NBA executive who told me if LeBron James has a torn MCL or ACL and misses a season, he still would get a team offering him the max. So that's what KD is. Whoever pays KD for 2019-2020 basically feels they're starting to pay him for 2020-21.
Do you have an inkling where you think he ends up?
I still think the two choices are down to New York and Golden State. I still think he has this desire to be the leading man again somewhere. Remember, Hawk, when he played in Oklahoma City, it was James Harden, it was Serge Ibaka, it was Russell Westbrook. It was never his team. Going back to when he started in Seattle and the Supersonics moved. Goes to the Warriors, of course, the Splash Brothers, Steph, you know, Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green. I think he wants to go to New York and be king of the city, sort of like Carmelo was, even if it's not going to be as successful a situation.
But it should be, well, be more successful than the Carmelo situation in New York. I mean, if you put R.J. Barrett and Kevin Durant on the New York Knicks,
They're a playoff team, at least. They're okay. At least a playoff team. Not next season when he doesn't play,
sure.
But going forward. And for the Heat fan, this is interesting because you're starting to see teams jump you. Like right now, we saw what the Atlanta Hawks did in last week's draft. They're ahead of the Heat right now in the East. They were a non-playoff team last year. They will be a playoff team this year. So now the Heat are chasing a spot that might not even be available. Eventually, in 2 years, if you have R.J. Barrett, Kevin Durant, and a plus one, their team is going to leapfrog you. You're sort of watching the East really take a step ahead.
Now, what is any hope for Heat fans? What could the Heat do from now through whenever it starts, July 2nd,
3rd? You know what? I posted a story at sunsentinel.com today. It's a primer of the offseason and what the Heat can do. And literally, each section I typed in was more depressing than the previous one. What can the Heat do? Heat fans out there, we are going to rally around this. The Heat can get out of the luxury tax. Yeah, that's sort of where they are. It might be actual more cutting than addition right now for the Heat.
They want to get rid of, I'm guessing, Hassan or Goran, if someone
yes,
would take those contracts.
But I wrote that in my Ask Ira at sunsentinel.com, shameless plug, to the point of, I think you just let things happen naturally. In other words, Hassan and Goran's contracts expire after the coming season. Is anything going to happen in the interim that'll make a difference anyway, or just let that happen organically? And it might be wait 2 years to let the James Johnson and Deion Waiters contract expire. The Heat are not calling these mistakes. The Heat are calling these with Johnson and with Deion Waiters injuries that got in the way. Term it how you want. I understand. The one thing we see in all of sports, the Dolphins this year, sometimes you do have to take that difficult step back. I think that's what it's going to be. I'm going to call him once a week to you this coming season. You're going to go, Ira, what's interesting with the Heat? And then I'll try to make a joke and talk about competitive eating.
I mean, there's literally going to be nothing interesting about
this
team.
It's going to be hard. Look at the roster right now.
Because it's the same as last year, but it's going to be without Dwayne Wade.
Every week when we spoke, you at least had the final tour, especially now if it's without Haslam as well.
Well, guys, I'm going to have to say Ira Winterman's taking the half-glass-empty approach.
Solana's got this thing where he gets very deep and very chesty because he's got this, you know, he's a Heat season ticket holder, and he will, you know, sing praises to the death of Josh Richardson and Justice Winslow, and he talks in this funny affect when he does
it. But I didn't notice it when you see it in personal also, when he draws in the chest and all of that.
He really comes strong.
I thought he was like having
You cannot make a case for them being interesting next season.
Well, you have the kids. You have the four young
kids. They're not kids anymore.
Same players as before. And even, you know what? Last year was sort of the fun growth of Derrick Jones Jr. He came on the scene in summer league.
Go ahead, yell out his nickname, Solana.
This is airplane mode, Ira. That's what we call him. That's not just a
mode. Allow Ira to speak. I know that anytime he hears Derrick Jones Jr., he has to blurt out airplane mode.
Jumps out the building.
I mean, look, it's the Tyler Hero season. I mean, that'll be nice. He'll make some threes, but the Heat had Wayne Ellington already. What's going to be the fun part is what's always the fun part in today's modern NBA. What comes next?
Well, are they going to be, though, during this week, are they calling and asking someone, are you interested in Whiteside and his contract? Or are they just sitting around and saying, hey, if
so,
they are. So they're
and
being proactive.
What's going to happen is teams have a gazillion dollars in money. If players stay with their own teams that are over the cap, Durant, Klay Thompson, Kemba Walker, teams are still going to have a ton of money. Hey, would you be interested in? Mountain, again, beauty is in the eye of the beholder. It only takes one team. If someone says, hey, you know what? Deion Waiters, for what we need him, that might work. I think James Johnson is the perfect Houston Rocket for the kind of player they need, who can defend and make threes. So maybe there's some interest there. Maybe there's another team that has a one-year contract also, Charlotte and Bismack Biyombo, who says, you know what? We'll flip him for Hassan. You get rid of your problem. We'll get rid of ours. Yes, the Heat are working the phones on all those kind of things. And after the second week of free agency usually is when it is, and teams still have money and no place to shop. That's what happened to the Heat in the summer of Durant. When he'd have come in the summer of Hayward, all of a sudden, well, we got this money. Let's get a James Johnson, a Deion Waiters, a Kelly Olynyk. There will be the equivalent of that this summer.
What do you think the odds are that Hassan Whiteside and or Goran Dragic are on this roster at the beginning of the season?
I think Hassan will be here all season just because I think it's a hard-to-move deal. I think Goran is very attractive. And also as a basketball player.
Hey, boom.
And the reason for that is there'll be a contender that has an injury. And a one-year rental. Goran's a really good and an effective player in today's modern, you-must-have-a-shot NBA. That's the difference. Hassan Whiteside's game was the game of 4 years ago. The NBA has changed away from post-play and big men to the point that even Houston is looking to get rid of Clint Capella, who is the next great thing in the middle. But Goran's game is exactly what you want. So if a team like a Boston winds up losing Kyrie Irving, loses Rozier in free agency, that might be the perfect one-year rental for them. Then the question becomes, well, we'll give you Goran, but you have to take, it's like, you know, almost like the Chinese menu, something from column B as well. So that's how they might lose another
player. They don't want to get stuck with something, though.
Right. So it's a case of, is a team like Boston so hungry to stay in the playoffs that they say, we lost Horford, we lost Kyrie Irving, we couldn't get a replacement. So you know what? For a year or two, we'll take Goran Dragic and James Johnson as their replacements, and with Tatum and Jaylen Brown and our young players, we can grow from there. That's how I think it happens.
What do you think happens with Hassan Whiteside? Let's say plays out this contract with the Heat, and now he's a free agent after this coming season. What do you think happens with Whiteside? Is he going to get a big deal still somewhere else?
No, he's going to get a minimal.
Go on one-year deals.
He's going to get a minimal deal, maybe for exception money. And you know what? I don't even know if those kind of players get that, because you look at someone like Tyson Chandler last year, who's the ultimate rim protector and defender kind of player. He went to a minimum salary to the Lakers. JaVale McGee, remember a couple years ago he was in the NBA Finals and he was the be-all, end-all, and last year he was an afterthought by the Lakers to the point I don't know what comes next for him. You become a dinosaur in this league. The other example is the player who can't shoot. The Rajon Rondo type. For years, that was fine. He could have an assist. He could defend. He can get deflections. Now there's no place for that kind of player. The game evolves. And you literally, the word is, you become extinct.
Yeah. I think Whiteside, though, would blame that extinction on Eric Spoelstra, right? You didn't use me properly.
Oh, and that's going to be the problem all year. If you're looking to develop Bam Adebayo for the future, he's on a low cost.
I mean, they've kind of shown their hand on that
right,
one, right? They want to develop Bam
Adebayo,
and they like Kelly Olynyk.
And they're going to play Kelly Olynyk as a starter together. They still, if he's here, have to play James Johnson. They like airplane mode off the bench and power forward also. Maybe Justice Winslow there. It's just going to continue the discomfort of that. That's why I think if they could flip Hassan for someone else's problem who might be quieter, it might be worth their while.
Radio.com. Radio. Radio.com.
Someone texts in a couple questions here. You can do a kind of a off-the-cuff Ask Ira. Normally you read it at sunsentinel.com, but people are texting in. 56022 Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. What about Jimmy Butler? Anything on Jimmy Butler?
I mean, it's so hard to do a sign and trade these days. The NBA took out the benefit of the extra fifth year that the Heat, when they did with Bosch and with LeBron, thought they could get him here for longer. They wound up leaving anyway. And the Sixers have to get something back that they want. I think what's happening right now is the Heat are being used. Jimmy Butler wants to go back home to Houston. So unless...
By the way, how would he fit there? I'm so confused by that because I don't see how Chris Paul fits. Now you're going to add another shooter in there.
And a guy who's ball dependent also.
And he's going to sit there and he's going to watch James Harden dribble the ball?
Because people believe that the more talent you have, the ultimate better. Personally, one of the players that Houston would have to get rid of to make it work is Eric Gordon. I thought he was the perfect fit. You watch the playoffs. How many times did Eric Gordon's three-pointers sort of open up the floor for Chris Paul and James Harden? I also think Houston is overreacting. I understood after they lost to the Warriors, they felt they had to retool. But the Warriors aren't the Warriors, at least for next season. I think if they stay mostly in place, but this is just like the Raptors. Even after LeBron left Cleveland and went to the Lakers, they still did the Kawhi trade. They still fired Dwayne Casey for Nick Nurse and moved in a different direction. So I think Houston's whole thing is scorched earth and blow it up. So what Jimmy Butler's doing is they're creating this threat. Well, I can go to Miami. I could sign a trade there. So get me to Houston instead. I just don't know if the Sixers, it's worth them getting Clint Capella and Eric Gordon just saying, we'll just use some of the space and build our team anyway. And even if he comes to the Heat, and again, I threw this out there as Josh Richardson and Goran Dragic to make the money work. Are you comfortable with Jimmy Butler at 34 years old making $40 million? Or are you back where you've always been, long money, end of careers?
Do you think they made a mistake last year when they could have had him from Minnesota? Did they make a mistake? Just looking at star power and
yeah, I think they made a mistake and I made a mistake because I really thought it was going to be Josh Richardson's breakout season. Now my question is, was it not Josh Richardson's breakout season because Dwayne Wade took over the stage, because he took all the final shots, because everyone deferred to Dwayne Wade. So maybe you need one more Josh Richardson season. I mean, I'll ask you this. Do you have any confidence when we list the leading man of every team in the NBA? If I say the Miami Heat, leading man, Josh Richardson, what would you say to me, Hawk?
Well, again, it goes back to last season. They force-fed you Josh Richardson as the leading man at the beginning of the season. They force-fed you. It didn't work. Now you're having it's kind of like a convenient explanation. Well, they were deferring to Dwayne Wade at the end. But I kind of feel like I've seen... Here's the thing that I don't want to fall into with a guy like him. I don't want to fall into a Ryan Tannehill situation. I like Josh Richardson. I know big Heat guy over there loves Josh Richardson. I know he loves Justice Winslow. I like them. I don't think they're all-stars. I think to be a real team leader, you've got to be an all-star. I don't think he's an all-star.
But you think he's a nice complimentary player, correct?
Absolutely.
And Justice Winslow the same?
Yes.
And Bam Adebayo the same?
Yes.
Maybe even airplane mode the same? So, Hawk, if the big plan is to get into free agency next summer or the summer after, do you say to yourself, unlike the morass you mentioned in Houston, we have the right complementary players. All we need to do is airlift in one player, and we're good to go.
I mean, are they that good complementary players, though? I'm not certain.
I think they all are, because I think they all understand their place as well, and they each have a unique skill set. Josh Richardson, defender. Justice Winslow is a playmaker. Bam Adebayo runs the floor, rebounds, can block shots. So they give you all the little things that once you drop someone in there, you're at least a contender for the conference finals, let's say.
You have something, Solana? I saw you pipe up there for a second.
Oh, I just wanted to make sure Ira was representing the kids the right way.
And you
he
felt
did.
Like he did. Okay, because I saw you turn
job.
The mic on, but then you clammed up. So you didn't have anything to take issue with there. Someone texted in, would you put it past Hassan Whiteside to have a career year in the contract year? This season will be his contract year.
It's funny.
Year.
I spoke to someone about the Heat, and they believe as Deion Waiters and James Johnson move to the end of their contracts, they well could have a revival. Here's why I don't think that for Hassan, for one reason. Opportunity. I don't think he's going to get the opportunity to have a career year.
Well, but if he plays in his limited minutes and he gives you so much that he forces himself to give you an opportunity.
He was very productive on a 24-minute basis last season. Eric Spoelstra said this recently. He was speaking privately to somebody, said, Hassan had a very good year. For what we asked of Hassan, he met all the goals. He filled all the boxes. So he can, but unless Bam Adebayo or Kelly Olynyk are injured and out for an extended period, I just don't see the opportunity there.
Looking at some of the questions that are coming in for you. Somebody says, the Heat won't make the playoffs, but we're going to see the development of the young core. That just smacks as what we did with the Dolphins for a long time. But you'll blink your eyes.
But I don't know, because I don't know if the Dolphins had a young core enough. Now, again, on a 50,
but they, no, I'm talking 50, about Ryan Tannehill specifically.
Right.
He
okay,
was your
one.
Young quarterback for the first year, and then the second year, and the third year, and the fourth year. And then the fifth year, it became, are we sure we know what we have with him? And then the sixth season, then
but
the seventh season.
You're talking young developing player, singular. I'm talking young developing core, plural. So you could see that, and you could take some pleasure out of that if everyone takes a step forward. And you know what? If they don't, that's something you need to learn as well.
Has the luster, as someone suggests via text, they call it the blush, but has the luster worn off Pat Riley?
It wears off for each year you move away from the success level. That's true of anyone to when you start relying on your past and you realize how long ago it was. When you look, the Heat have won one playoff game over 3 years, one playoff series.
But they did win three titles under his stewardship.
Yes, so, okay, but again, and Pat Riley was Showtime Lakers. So, Pat Riley has his Hall of Fame resume because he's in the Hall of Fame. So that answers that. So that's never going to be tarnished. But as you move on and you say your times are changing, or do you say it the other way? Pat Riley is still getting in the room where a lot of other teams, probably half the league, couldn't even get in the room. And whether there's a Jimmy Butler room or something like that, the Heat still get in the room with that. Does that, though, become more frustrating? Are you better off knowing you are a Grizzlies or a Cavaliers or a Timberwolves who you get who you want, but you have reasonable expectations? Or are you glad that your guy is still getting in the room?
Yeah, if he keeps swinging and missing, though, I think it becomes more frustrating. Like
it becomes more
said.
Frustrating because he's swinging, because he's getting up to the plate. Is it better than not getting up to the plate at all, and at least not digging in and trying to get one of those fastballs?
You've spoken with him. Why does he still want to do this?
It's what he does. It's I think there are certain people in their field that it's so in their DNA that I think you might talk to your wife one day, I'm going to retire and move on. I think you like coming in and doing this. That is part of you and it makes you whole. My wife and I have this argument all the time. When are you going to retire? My response is, why should I retire? I mean, maybe one day I'll physically slow down or mentally slow down where I can't do it anymore. But if you feel like you can do it, and I know this is egotistical, although you do it in front of the mirror before you come on the air every day.
I can do it while I'm on the air.
And you just sit there and you go, I'm good. And you feel that way about you, then it's something that sort of feeds into your energy and keeps you going. How many times do you see this? A coach or someone in a profession retires from his job, and it sounds terrible, and boom, he's dead. You see it all the time, right?
But there's other guys like Jimmy Johnson where they segue into something else and they seem happy and whatnot. The only reason I say it, obviously, Pat Riley loves what he's doing. Wouldn't have done it this long. He's unbelievably successful. You couldn't, even with all the, I guess they are failures, the failures the last few seasons, you cannot argue what this guy has meant to the franchise and the city and the parades because of him. So I look at it, though, and I go, man, he's got to be a little bit tired, though, going to the gym and watching those guys. No offense to those guys, Solana. Right. I know it's a great young core, but it's not exactly watching Shaquille O'Neal and Dwayne Wade and LeBron James and Chris Bosh. Like, there's a little bit of a drop-off. He's got to feel that.
But I can tell you this. Twice in the last month or so, Pat has pulled me aside and sort of argued his case and tried to make his point, so he still has that passion. And he's still, you're wrong on this, you shouldn't have written that, this is what's going to happen, you don't know what you're talking about. Just to have that passion to still do that tells me that's good, he's still on point. That if he can argue in favor of something, he's still passionately pursuing something. Because I have seen several people in his job, in other teams, collecting a paycheck, just going through the motions, letting their subordinates do all the work, you know, sort of being the, it's almost like that's what the Dolphins were afraid of. I don't mean this in a negative way with like a Don Shula or someone. Matter of fact, I'll give you the better example. Remember when Bobby Bowden didn't even wear the headsets?
Mm-hmm.
Remember all those college coaches who were the icons?
Joe Paterno, he was just there as a
figurehead.
But weren't
really doing it. That's not Pat. He still has that Irish anger to pull me aside and tell me why I'm an idiot and why I'm wrong. And you know what? That's what I respect more than anything, that the passion to still do the job is there.
How is your relationship, your personal relationship with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra? Because anytime you're on, people will text us and they'll say, you see, this is why Spo hates him.
I can't have a relationship
right.
That way. I told someone in the Heat this the other day, and I believe this because of how I was raised. I will always respect Pat because he is my elder, and I believe that still matters. I think to some people it doesn't, and I hate that. So I will never condescend to someone who's my elder, who has lived more life and seen more than I have, number one. But I'm not afraid to challenge and to be challenged when we have our moments aside. And I've said this on the show with you. I hate what this has become, that every single conversation I have with Pat Riley and Eric Spoelstra is a television production.
Right.
Because it used to be Pat Riley would go to us, turn those things off. Turn your tape recorders off. To the loser ballas and the people in the back, turn your cameras off. And then he'd go, do you think I want to be in this position? Do you think this is what I signed up for? Do you think I want to watch a player who shows up late and doesn't practice hard? And he'd give you that. But he can't now because we get these announcements. Pat Riley will be on live on Heat.com and maybe on 790 The Ticket with his end of the season press conference. So you don't have that relationship anymore. The same thing with Eric and Eric Spoelstra. And you see it is you can be with him in that moment where it's a loss and it sucks. And I feel for you because your job is so black and white, unlike mine. But I have to ask you these questions, Coach. Why did you do this? Why did you do that? You started that with the Mets, you know, with their manager the other day in the Newsday Reporter. Why did you not throw this pitcher in the eighth inning in a game when he hasn't pitched in a week or so? I don't like that, but I got to tell you. Then I'll walk down the hallway with Spoelstra, and when we're both people again, me not reporter, him not coach, it's like, hey, that was work person. This is people person. So many times, you'll see this on the videos. I'll ask Eric a question. It might get contentious when I have the little camera there and I shoot the video. And as soon as we're done, I'll go, hey, Spar, I got another question I got to ask you for a feature story. He'll go, what do you need? And he'll give that to me. So what people are seeing out there, I hate that every single thing becomes sort of an availability. Even like when I worked the midday show here, the earlier show, and we carry the coaches' press conference, those Adam Gase sessions were awful. They were painful to listen to, like Belichick sessions are. But people would tell you, Omar and other people, no, away from that, he was good. He talked to me. He gave us what we wanted and things like that. I think too much of this has become theater.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Here's some of the questions coming in on the text machine for Ira Winderman.
Yay.
You can read his traditional Ask Ira at sunsentinel.com. Ira, what road teams have the best and worst food in the media room?
I like how, first of all, he said traditional Ask Ira. Yes, the Hebrew version, but I'll go beyond that. I'm not going to name the home place here. I'll take that away. But there are so many places that serve almost middle school cafeteria kind of food that you know about ahead of time. So I just stay away from. There are places like Portland is fantastic. And unlike Utah, Salt Lake probably has the best meal. But the best meal I've ever had pregame was Boston on a Heat playoff game. All of a sudden, they had a clam bake. They had lobster. They had lobster. To this day, when I run into Tom DeAngelo, who was covering the Heat at the time, we don't even remember who won that game in Boston. We just go to each other, remember the game we had pregame lobster? And that was the exception. That was unbelievable.
Somebody texts in your thoughts on Tyler Hero. And I had said at the beginning of the show, you were there for the introductory press conference. He seems like a pretty quiet guy to me. He seems very confident. All the stuff I've read about him, your first impressions of their draft choice, Tyler Hero?
He reminds me, both visually and in his approach, to a degree, of Jason Williams' White Chocolate, is that he has that sort of arrogance you wouldn't expect from someone who looks that way. And his game is similar in that defensively he tries like heck, but he simply doesn't have the body and the heft to get through screens and stuff like that. I think there's a lot of Jason Williams in him. It might not be in the passing. It might be more in the shooting. But I think he's an interesting character with an interesting background who will provide color with his play, if not necessarily with his quotes.
Did you did you think it was the right pick?
I did not at the time. I did after the fact when I sat back and I said, okay, you could do worse than a shooter. You need shooting. This team has to go in that direction. And while Eric Spoelstra rarely has played a pure shooter, significant minutes, Wayne Ellington, James Jones, people like that, James a little before the time also, I think it's more of a case because he's drafted 13, now the Heat have to play him. So I can understand that, yes.
Somebody texts in, is Kyrie a possibility in Miami?
He wanted to come here at one point. I really think he's 99% to Brooklyn, so I don't think it's worth investigating.
Somebody texts in, is Pat Riley done winning championships?
Wow, that's a cold, cold thing for me to say.
I mean,
say.
It kind of
yes.
has to be, right? There's no exactly line
to a championship I could see right now. I think he'll make one more run at building a championship contender. But if you're asking me, will he be with the Heat when that rendition of the team wins a championship? I'd have to say a long shot.
Why is there so much hype with the Lakers? Everybody knows that when you get to the playoffs, you need a very strong bench, and trading all the assets and having only three players under contract. How is it possible the Lakers will be able to compete deep into the playoffs?
I think it's the exact opposite. I know injuries are a factor. I think you need less of a bench in the playoffs. You don't have back-to-backs. You can have time off extensively after series if you win quickly enough. I think your elite talent wins. Look, you're talking about a team that has two of the top 10. I'm still putting LeBron in top 10 in the NBA. First of all, I love the NBA because there's 20 top 10 players. I heard you and Channing talk about this anyway.
It's hard to narrow it down to top 10.
But it's just great because you name 20 players who are in the top 10. You name 10 players who are in the top 5. I think LeBron is still a top 10 player. When you start with that base, I can get enough minimum contracts. The Heat were always able to get one more, an additional player, a Chris Birdman Anderson, someone else to come in, a Ray Allen at a low exception contract. The Lakers will be able to fill that out. They're in very good shape with those two.
With LeBron and Anthony Davis, I think that they're almost the cream of the crop in the West.
At least top four. That's where you want to get to. You want to have home court in the first round and a competitive chance in the second.
If Jimmy Butler gets added to Houston, what are they in
your mind? Doesn't change them. I think Houston right now, if they can keep it together mentally even more than physically, still is a top two team of the Western Conference because I'm bumping the Warriors down probably at least to number five.
I kind of know this because you and I have talked about this, but the Heat are what in the East? In your estimation.
Number-wise?
Yeah.
Let's see. They were 11, was it, last year? They're probably 11, between 10 and 12 in the East, yeah. It'll be really hard for them to make the playoffs if Atlanta makes the jump, I expect, if New York gets at least one elite-level free agent who is ambulatory and not Kevin Durant.
Somebody says, does insurance for the new team pay for KD's salary
next season?
No,
it's not even the insurance as much. What people ask about, if they can't play, only the Warriors will get a disabled player exception. So if they were to bring back Kevin Durant and bring back Klay Thompson, they're deemed to miss at least half the season, which they will. They actually could sign two players for the equivalent of the mid-level exception, and then those players could play on when they come back also. That might be really tempting to know, hey, there's a chance that KD and Klay will be back by March or so. We can make a deep playoff run, and you can be part of our team, sort of like with DeMarcus Cousins this season.
Somebody texts in, come on, Hawk, just ask Ira if he will call owners governors like the commissioner has asked.
And I find that ridiculous. I know we're trying to be politically sensitive. I understand you can't own humans. But then what's a part owner going to be? A part governor or, as Hawk, as you offer?
A mayor
or an alderman or someone like that. I know we're trying to do the right thing. I know the Heat have gotten away with it. They use managing part. Partner, managing general partner. But you know what? People still know what you're calling someone. And I think the NBA has such a good relationship with its players that I think he can still get away with owner.
If Hassan can't be dealt, do you think it's a possibility they buy him out and save a few mil?
No, because the only buyout way to do it, one, Hassan, why would Hassan have any incentive to be bought out
right.
and go elsewhere? If that does happen, it happens around the trading deadline or later in the year. Some people have said, why don't they stretch his salary? Instead of owing him $28 million this year, you can stretch it over 3 years. You can wind up owing him about $13.5 million. But you don't want to complicate future caps, so you sort of just swallow and bear it.
But he can, I mean, he's an asset, right? I mean, look,
he's an
not
asset.
At that price.
You know,
I understand what you're saying.
This is going to sound cold. He's an asset. Unless Eric Spoelstra is the coach, because nothing I've seen over the last couple of years tells me that Eric Spoelstra is comfortable playing him in an asset-like role.
But if you're a bottom feeder in the East, like you say, and you've got a guy that can put up a double-double without opening his eyes,
because you're a bottom feeder now, hoping for better days ahead. Better days ahead mean more minutes for Bam Adebayo because he's the future, not the past.
But so, I mean, how many coaches really live by that? Like, I'm okay with not winning now.
Live by that when they have teams that have had no turnover whatsoever, that Eric Spoelstra's been here forever, and Pat Riley and Andy Ellisberg and Adam Simon and Nick Arison and everyone. So this is one team where you can take the long view and feel comfortable about it.
What is better, chocolate babka or cinnamon babka?
Chocolate babka, because it's nice, light, and flaky. I think I'd go in that direction. Again, you know, it comes down to the same thing as you always tell me when we have our off-air debate about Humantashen.
I don't like Humantashen, by the way. Hey, do we have, speaking of Humantashen and babka, do we have Ira's intro? You know, normally when he comes on
my
the phone.
My outro? You mean my outro today?
We didn't play in 3 hours and 50 minutes. We didn't play this. Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman, from the Sun Sentinel, Ira Winderman, Ira Winderman, he covers the NBA,
And you have no idea how hard it is to wear these headphones with this long, bushy beard and big black hat. But I do it for you, Hawk.
Someone texts in, will UD be back? Based on his Instagram post, I'm guessing yes, right?
He'll be back running through that door. And also because he makes $2.6 million if he comes back.
So he's coming back. You're convinced he's coming
back. Look, that Instagram post, when he basically threatened to beat me up, yeah, I think he's coming back.
Okay. And that's, I mean, whatever. It's the 15th roster.
Like
it doesn't mean anything,
Pat
does it?
About it? He says, look, you're going to play eight. You're going to need maybe 11. If you're that caught up in the final roster spot, you're probably in trouble anyway.
Somebody texts in, Eric Spoelstra is a lot less popular than you realize. I disagree. Now, he is divisive. Anytime Channing and I talk about Eric Spoelstra, there is a camp of detractors that will start texting in, but then there is the camp that says, this guy, I mean, what more could you ask out of a head coach? First of all, stability and whatnot. His one knock is that he's stubborn, which you see it, you know, with Hassan Whiteside and oftentimes with his rotations or whatnot. He's stubborn, but that's all right. Like, there's no doubt in your mind he's a Hall of Fame coach, right?
And he's the kind of coach, this is how you know. If the Heat were to let him go within 5 minutes, he'd have 10 offers.
Right. There's not a coaching vacancy. If there was a team that had a coaching vacancy and he was available, every single person's calling him.
He'd be at the top of the list, absolutely.
He will be a Hall of Famer, yes?
Yeah, again, you know, you could say it's because of the players he had. He's won two championships.
I mean, you could say that about Phil Jackson or anybody.
I'd say look at the resume, yes.
All right. Ira Winderman. Did you have any Heat questions, Solana? You're the room's biggest Heat fan.
Do you like the airplane mode nickname, Ira? Are you going to refer to him in your upcoming column as airplane mode?
I will use his name on first reference and take considerations after that. How about that?
Do you think Alfredo Mezaga as a candidate for best Marlin of all time?
No, I'm going to go with, what is it, Alfonseca and
yes,
his six
Antonio
fingers.
Alfonseca.
Six fingers and six toes, right?
El Pulpo. That means the octopus.
Oh, okay.
See, so I'll trump you every time. Don't mess with me, Solana.
All right, there you go. That's going to do it for us. Fight Night is coming up next. By the way, I'm not kidding. If you miss, we had three interviews today that were excellent. Steve Goldstein, of course, we talked about Roberto Luongo retiring. Clay Ferreiro from Local 10, he had a very open and honest piece done about him on Local 10 with his, a mental health issue that he was honest about that Local 10 is championing, and he was just raw and honest.
Heart, yeah.
And Mickey Sudo, this goes top five of any radio interview I've ever done in my life. Mickey Sudo, who is the number one ranked female competitive eater in the world, was phenomenal for a myriad of reasons.
It was our Billie Jean King versus Bobby Riggs moment.
It was just fascinating. All those interviews will be posted at WQAM.com upon completion of the program, which is right about now. Happy birthday, Derek Jeter, by the way. We spoke some Marlins.
And happy
today.
Birthday tomorrow to my wife.
And
thank
happy
you,
birthday to Mrs. Winderman tomorrow.
29.
My wife turns 50 on Saturday.
As in 29.
50. We will be flying over the international dateline. She's actually...
Two birthdays.
Do you get two birthdays, or you just, like, once we fly into wherever...
Well, whenever we check into a hotel, we always say it's a birthday or anniversary anyway, so you can
have
two birthdays.
You get the upgrade. Uh-huh. There you go. Aha! Now you understand Ira's theme song.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.